Just be there, man. Don't miss a moment.
We got a call once from Heritage that she spit in the reflection pond at school.
We're going to Oklahoma. There's no doubt in my heart that we're going to Oklahoma. And we're not just going to go to Oklahoma. We're going to let them know who Duke is, Duke softball is.
We should draw the line by climbing the fence behind home plate, which I did once at a travel game.
It's Softball Speakeasy, Episode 9, presented by the Softball Sanctuary here at the Duke Softball Stadium. You can actually see behind us the scoreboard from Game 3 against Virginia Tech. Thank you for watching, listening, viewing, and subscribing. If you're new here, my name is Rain Wilson. I'm a former Duke softball player turned analyst and broadcaster.
And my name is Kelly Torres, a current catcher on the Duke softball team.
Softball Speakeasy is a podcast that will be giving you a behind-the-scenes look at Duke's 2024 campaign. We'll be following storylines throughout the college softball season, and we'll aim to give you next-level access into what it takes to play college softball
at the Division I level. And today we are joined by two very, very special guests. Without these two guests, there would be no podcast. Mm-hmm. And there would also be no me. Yeah. So thank you so much for, you know, giving birth to me, Mom and Dad.
Woo! We're so lucky to have you two here with us. But before we dig into Kelly's parents, John and Kelly, we got to get into what just happened.
Oh,
so we're
God,
sitting
yes.
on the field after Game 3. Duke just swept Virginia Tech. So let's just break down the weekend.
Okay.
Game one, you all. Yeah, we see the broom. I know. If you're listening, we have a broom out here.
Yes.
No disrespect, just celebrating the
victory. My father bought it at, what was it, 8 a.m. today at Home Depot?
7 a.m. Home Depot.
What are you going to do with it now? Who gets it after? Because y'all fly home in a couple days.
We are leaving it here, and we're going to buy another broom for next week, University of North Carolina.
Oh,
yes. This broom is only for VT.
Okay, so we're going to have a broom for every weekend.
We're going to have a broom collection soon.
Oh, okay. That's actually a really good idea.
I like that.
Because as you mentioned, next week Duke plays University of North Carolina, the rivals here at home. But let's dig into Virginia Tech.
Yes.
So game one, you all just came out firing on all cylinders. You end up getting the run rule victory. But I want to focus on game two because it was a nail biter. It was huge game, back and forth. They jump out to an early lead. You all claw back. But then it was the Kelly Torres walk-off hit. So, Kelly, yes. Take me through that game, and then take me through your walk-off hit.
I mean, we need to highlight Amina Vega if we're going to talk about that game. Two home runs, there was someone on base. So, two-run home runs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And a double.
Yeah. You're correct. So, Amina Vega showed out that game. Pitching as well did well. But, yeah, coming into the last inning, it was 5-5, bottom of the seventh.
Mm-hmm.
And Anna was up, and they clearly were walking her.
Yeah.
And in my head, I'm like, okay, it's me. Like, they want to face me in this position. And I'm like, okay.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Big mistake. Won't do that one again.
No.
Yeah, so you get the double, and – like, for a lot of folks who maybe don't watch Duke softball or haven't followed the season, like, this was a huge weekend for a number of reasons, but especially coming off of Louisville. Like, last episode we talked about you all didn't play up to your standards. So what was the mindset shift from Louisville to now that enabled you all to sweep the series?
Well, you know, Virginia Tech, you said it. It was a huge game, especially in ACC ranking, all of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't something that we were, you know, kind of ignoring. We realized how important this game was
right.
in the series. So we took that with us. You know, we kind of took ownership of this. And especially at home with our fans and just the environment and the energy, it all helped us on the field.
And what an environment it was. And a lot of that had to do with the two people sitting in between Kelly and I, Kelly's parents. So we see the pitchfork, we see the broomstick, and we see the coveted devil hat. So Mrs. Torres, I should say, you're known for that hat. So take me through the story of the hat.
Well, the hat was purchased freshman year, and I took it to LSU for the first game. That we were playing, and Christina Foreman, I wore that game and we won, and Kelly played and did awesome. And she said to me, Mrs. Torres, you need to wear the hat every game. And since that day, I've been wearing it for every single game that I've attended at Duke softball.
You all have been such vocal supporters for Kelly's entire career. And we are so excited to have a parent's perspective on the show, because we've been talking about Kelly as a player. We've been talking about my experience as a former player. But half the story of our careers have been, not even half, 80% is the parents who devote hours and money and time to help your child be successful. So we're really excited to have you. And I want to dig straight into you all, of course, your relationship with Kelly and how this young woman has turned into the woman she is today, because I have a feeling you all had a lot to do with it. So take me through what kind of child or toddler Kelly was. Like, give me some attributes of young Kelly.
Young Kelly is mischievous and curious and adventurous and got into all sorts of trouble with her brother, but she was always very kind and warm-hearted, always hugging everyone, and, you know, she's special soul in her. She's very artistic and just a beautiful person.
Thank you, Mom.
She was very athletic in her youth. I was coaching my son travel baseball, and I had to babysit Kelly, so she would come into the field. I bought her a pink hat with a little hole in the back for her ponytail. I gave her a pink glove, and I told her to go into the outfield because she couldn't get hurt. And the only way in and out of the park was through the dugout, which we had blocked. And if I kept my eye off of Kelly, she would go to shortstop because that's where all the balls were hit. And, oh, you're going to get hurt. You got to go out. So she would go out to the outfield for like one or two plays, and there she was back in the shortstop playing with boys.
That's funny.
And, yeah, she just took it from there.
It's funny you mentioned her being athletic, because that was my next question. Like, when did you first know Kelly was athletic? Like, did she do something in the kitchen that you were like, whoa, we got an athlete on our hands?
We went skiing when you were, what, 5 or 6?
Oh,
and we went to Steamboat Springs.
Oh, wow.
And that was her first time ever going skiing. And we put her in ski school, and we left her there for the day. And the instructor, when we went to pick her up, said to us, she's a natural born athlete.
Wow.
And if she wants to do skiing professionally, she could do it. She's just born this way. And I was like, we knew she had skills, but it, you know, when someone else observes it and like tells you, it just kind of reinforces that from that aspect. But she's just so much more than just an athlete. You know, she's kind and always looks out for everyone and thinking of everyone else, and again, just a special person in terms of her vision on life and her positivity and the energy that she brings to everyone that's around her.
Thanks, Mom.
During during her school, I think she was like third grade or so, we had in the football field, we had a spring carnival. And they had this wall, a rock climbing wall with bells on top. And there was a long line, and these boys were climbing, and they couldn't make it halfway.
Uh-huh.
And we walked right by. We weren't even paying to go there. But one of the parents goes, there's Kelly. She can do it. So there was a third rope. Kelly ran up that wall like a little squirrel, rang the bell, and then looked down at the boys who were still halfway, and then dove back and came down. And the boys never even made it up there. That's Kelly right there.
Well, that's awesome. And so you mentioned taking Kelly to practices with your son. But when did you know that she was interested in softball? Like, was it multiple sports when she was little, or has it always been softball?
Always been softball. She played baseball, t-ball with the boys 1 year. And after that, she started playing softball and has been there. In her, I think it was her sophomore year in high school, she played basketball. We won the district. She never played basketball a day in her life, but man, she would guard. She couldn't shoot, but you couldn't dribble. She was like in your skin. And I remember St. Thomas Aquinas is a large school down by our house, and their coach, I brought Kelly in to train, and he was, you know, showing her how to do a layup and stuff, and he goes, she's really good. I want her on my travel team, basketball. She's on a travel team of softball, and I have no time.
Yeah, but yeah.
It was crazy, yeah. So that was the only other sport she did.
No. Yes.
Oh, and bowling. Bowling. Yes.
That's
sorry.
Also a sport.
That's on brand.
Yes, yes,
that's
yes.
That's on brand.
The bowling.
I was the anchor, and it's funny because Emily Leggett, who's also in Virginia Tech,
yeah.
She was on the bowling team with me.
No so. Way. Yeah. Yeah. That's so cool. It's really amazing how across college softball, like from a viewer standpoint, you don't realize all the connections that people mm-hmm. have with other parents, other players, yeah. and things like that. But I did want to ask you both, when did you know Kelly was good enough to play at a Power 5 Division 1? Because, you know, like you mentioned, you can evaluate your kid, but I imagine it's difficult. But was there a moment that she made a play or she was on the team or something where you're like, okay, she's good enough to play at a really good school?
Her high school, which was known for his softball team, amongst other, allowed sixth graders to play. Kelly made the team right there. And she would go from JV to varsity and JV to varsity. At seventh grade, she was varsity all the way through. Mm-hmm. And she never looked back. She never looked back. She played when, you know, for Gold Coast Gold Team as a 16, 15-year-old. Mm-hmm. And never looked back from there.
When she started playing softball, she played for the Pembroke Lakes Bandits. And Coach Pam Denham was her coach. And she called her Mighty Mouse. Uh-huh. And even though she was small, she was mighty, and mm-hmm. she was everywhere and made plays and always wanted to be where the ball was. Mm-hmm. That's partly why she ended up catching, because yeah. she wanted to be part of every play on yeah. the field. And, you know, after her, Coach Michelle Neveling, which did a lot to hone her skills and bring her along, and then Coach Marty Cooper in high school, you know, her softball IQ continued to grow. And we always say the most important thing Kelly has is in between her ears, because she's very smart, can read the field, knows where the plays are going to happen. And combined with her athletic ability, it made her a powerful force on the field.
Yeah, I mean, I playing with her for a couple years, I can totally see that. And even you just growing into who you are now has been amazing to watch. But we'll get into that later. But I want to ask you both to take me through her recruiting experience from your lens. Okay. And then, Kelly, I want to ask you your actual, like, what you were thinking throughout high school and your recruiting experience. So take me through what you saw from Kelly in high school and her recruiting.
Well, at 12, Coach Michelle Devlin made them write letters to schools. First time, you know, to these schools they were interested in. Kelly wrote to five schools that had no softball program.
Yeah.
Duke
yeah,
being one
Vanderbilt,
of them.
You know, Miami.
Miami.
Duke.
Wake Forest. Yeah.
Who'd you sign it to? Like,
she just wrote it.
Aww.
But the funny part was, it's meant to be, like, perhaps a month after these came out, Duke announces they're going to have a softball program.
Yeah.
And it was meant to be. And their first program, first camp, came out, it was all high schoolers, and Kelly was in eighth grade. So I write an email to Coach Young, and I says, she's very talented, she's not going to get hurt, I'll sign whatever, let her go. And about a week or two after that, Duke has their first ever camp, and it was for eighth graders.
Mm.
I don't know how that happened, but hey, don't look a gift for. She was there, and it was, you know, I kept telling, oh, well, we got to look at other schools. She and Mommy, there was never a plan B. It was always Duke. And we must have come to a dozen Duke camps. It was always Duke.
Mm-hmm.
Never, ever, ever looked at, you know, seriously at another school.
Yeah, so my mentor is Dr. Myron Rosenthal. He's a Duke graduate, and he was a professor of neurology. And from a career perspective, he was my mentor and taught me a lot for many years. And so when the kids were growing up, you know, I think Kelly asked me once, where would I have gone to school if I had had a different choice? Because I stayed close to home. Mm-hmm. So I went to the University of Miami. My parents didn't want me to go far away. And I told her, Duke, I would have wanted to come to Duke University. And so for me, it's been always Duke. I always envisioned her here. Her father vacillated between Duke and UNC and actually Ooh. Went to a UNC softball camp. And while we were there, I'm like, why would you go for second or even third when we have number one right up the street? And that's where we ended up, back at number one, where we belong.
And so, Kelly, does that match up to, like, how you felt?
Yeah. The story about the list is true. So I had a bunch of schools that didn't have softball programs on it. But Duke was my number one. And I think, I don't know what the conversation was, but I knew that Duke was your dream school. And I think that's what inspired me. And, I mean, why wouldn't it be my dream school? Duke is amazing. So then from eighth grade on, I think I went to a Duke camp every year. And they liked me. I just needed to get my test scores. And the second I got that, I committed.
How has it been to see Kelly grow and develop into the woman that she is today?
When Kelly started playing, you know, at six, she was playing 8U ball, softball. And I didn't know anything about softball. I was baseball all my life. And I was helping coach her team. Never, ever, ever gave a thought that she'd be here. And she's playing for Duke, arguably the top school in the country. My opinion, and she started from day one, freshman year. She was, you know, on this team, a catcher, and to see where they've come, and to see the talent they have, and to know that we're going to Oklahoma. There's no doubt in my heart that we're going to Oklahoma, and we're not just going to go to Oklahoma. We're going to let them know who Duke is, Duke softball is. Her freshman year at Duke, she came in and they won the ACC. Oh my God.
Hell man. Yeah.
I never dreamed of it. Mm-hmm. And she's been astonishing me since, you know, 6 years old, and she's still hasn't stopped. Mm-hmm. So it's just amazing the woman.
Yeah.
She's become such an amazing person, and you don't want to get me going. I'll start crying.
It's okay.
So when I was pregnant with Kelly,
we're going way back.
Yeah. I want to tell this story because the doctor was doing the sonogram and asked, did we want to know what sex our baby was going to be? And he turned and asked Kyle, what do you want, a brother or a sister? And Kyle says, I want a little sister. And the doctor said, your wish has come true. You're having a little sister. And my husband started crying right there in the middle of the doctor's visit, hysterically. Hysterically.
Yes, he has.
And he has not stopped crying ever since. And so, you know, everything that Kelly does is amazing for him and for all of us. And she is a blessing to our family. But for John, she's the beginning and the end all of everything. Aww. And I think that kind of describes how he feels about her. And we all love her, you know, but her dad has her father's heart around her pinky finger. And it's always been that way from the very beginning. So
it's funny because, you know, Kyle and, you know, Johnny and Jason are in this too, but they're always arguing like who's the favorite child. And, you know, sometimes I'm like, yeah, well, Kyle is sometimes, you know, but they all know it's me. I am the favorite.
Softball became for us like a extended family.
Right.
And we have lifelong friends because Kelly played softball. We have other daughters. We call them our other daughters. You know, all of these people who have grown up together and now are part of our children's accomplishments, we all share in them. You know, they all are watching Kelly play, watching Duke play, even though their daughters may no longer be playing softball. It feels like they're all part of that journey with us as well. So.
Yeah, because we've talked about this a lot in the first few episodes. It's like it takes a village. Yes. And with Kelly's senior year coming to a close, like it's not only the close for her chapter, but it's the close for y'all's chapter. So I want to ask, like, what is that emotional piece like, knowing that, you know, in a few months you won't see Kelly in a Duke uniform ever again? I know it's really sad, but
it's melancholy. I'm extremely, extremely proud, and you know, the accomplishment she's done, it's amazing. I don't know what I'm gonna do with my time or my money, for God's sakes, you know. I don't recall the last vacation that Mom and I took that wasn't around softball.
Right.
I mean, she's been playing, I think, 17 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have gone on vacations, but it's, well, Kelly's here. Like, when we went to Arizona State, we did Sedona.
Got it.
Beautiful, but it revolved around softball.
Right.
So, I don't know what I'm going to do.
It's funny you say that because the next question I have is, what's y'all's plans? Like, are there any things, are you going to get into golf? Like, are there any spring events that you're excited to get into?
I want to go to a couple places in Europe that I've always wanted to and never had the time to do it. And then just follow our children. I have four children, and thank God they're all healthy and wonderful. I have two granddaughters. So watch them, you know, grow up and be successful. Follow Kelly and her career. Mm-hmm. See where that leads to. She's got a lot of opportunities, and doors keep opening up left and right for her. So let's see which one she chooses. And wherever she goes, she has our full support. And I will miss softball.
And then this is the last little fun one for this segment. Were there ever moments when Kelly was in high school and you said, you know, she was a mischievous kid where maybe she was lying, fibbing, saying, oh, I'm going to go to her house and she's actually going to this other place, that you knew she was fibbing, but you're like, she's just being a kid? Or was she a good, mischievous
teenager? I was a good kid.
Teenager?
We got a call once from Heritage that she spit in the reflection pond at school. We had a call where she was climbing the walls inside of the bathroom and climbed all the way to the ceiling inside. We've got pictures of this. So she was mischievous. She was always pushing the envelope a little bit. Did we know that she was out someplace else that she didn't say? I always believed her. I continue to believe her. So, but do I think she did? Of course, all kids do. So, but all in all, I have to say, with softball and school, she really didn't have that much time on her hands because she had training, softball, school, you know, and she's very dedicated to that. So she always did the extra working out on her own and was committed to her sport. So in a way, a lot of the times we were there.
Right.
You know?
Well, right.
Well, let me say something. With the time I did have, I knew what to do with it. Wait, I also want to say something about this reflection pond. Okay. I spit in it because I wanted to see the minnows come up, you know, and circle around the saliva. Not like,
I can't believe they called home for that.
Yeah, well, it's like the reflection pond, and there's like meaning behind it. And like,
okay, it's not just like a pond on campus.
No, it's like, I think it was for memories of some people.
Oh, okay. All right.
But mind you, I'm in sixth grade. I'm not spinning in this, like, F you guys. It's more of just like, where are the minnows at?
Yeah.
Like, I wanted
intrusive
to see the
thoughts.
Little fish. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it was a loogie. It wasn't like that.
Okay. Well, we have some listener questions. And the first one is, what parts of Kelly make you the most proud?
Her mind and her spirit. You know, her mind, because she's super intelligent and can do anything she puts her mind to, she can accomplish. And her heart and her spirit, her soul. She's an old soul, you know, wants to do good in the world and bring positivity to everyone. So her energy is just infectious.
She's very selfless.
Yeah.
She's very selfless. She doesn't take credit for things that, you know, immediately, even at the beginning of this interview, you know, the first thing she did was give praise to Amina, and well-deserving. But that's Kelly. All her career's been like that.
And then the next listener question we have is actually for Kelly. Uh-oh. So, Kelly, what do you admire most about your parents?
What do I admire most? I admire a lot, but I feel like for my mom, I'll start with you, and then I'll go to Dan. But my mom was the best role model, you know, growing up. She was hardworking, and, you know, you talk a lot about a girl boss. My mom is definition of a girl boss, you know. She got a doctorate, and I remember going to that graduation, and, you know, like, I grew up seeing my mom just absolutely excel. And I wanted to be like her. You know, I wanted to get good grades. I came to Duke, and I want to pursue more schooling. And I couldn't think of a better, you know, person, a better mom. You were just an excellent role model and everything, and your work ethic, your brains, your intelligence. So, yeah. And then my father, he was everywhere. You know, wake up, take me to work out, pick me up from school, take me to practice, and be at practice, and then gets me with my extra hitting. He was there every step of the way. He was dedicated just as I was. And the times when you lose that dedication, as every kid does, mm-hmm. you know, he was there, and tough love, you know, he was there to get me back in. And without these two people, I wouldn't be here today. Without a role model, without the constant push, without you guys, I wouldn't be here. So thank you.
That's beautiful. Well, we'll move on to a segment that we've done with guests here on Duke Softball's field, and kind of this or that. So the first one is, who does Kelly look like more?
I know she looks like her mother, but for years and years and years, John has brainwashed her by insisting that she looks like him. So I'll let him go ahead and keep on insisting that she looks like her father.
I used to sit in front of her, sit on my lap, and, "Why are you so pretty? Why are you so pretty?" Until she, "I look like you, Daddy. I look like you." So to this day, I yell, "Why are you so beautiful? I look like you, Dad." And it's crazy. But no, she looks like me.
So you guys both agree, like, you, Mom, you think I look like you?
No.
Okay. Absolutely. So there's some disagreement.
What do you think, Kelly?
Don't be politically correct. Go out there. Be honest.
I don't know. Maybe the fans. The fans can pick that, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Can I just say, my genes outnumber his genes in your body?
Yes.
We're gonna agree to disagree on that one. Okay.
All right, we'll move on. This one might also be highly contested, but where does she get the brains from?
from her.
From Mom.
I see. I learned that.
You're not even contesting.
I'm not contesting.
Okay, all right. That was an easy one. All right, well, then who does she get the softball skills from, or the athleticism from?
Oh, that's mine. Come on. You know how many times I heard, "She needs to rest. You got to give her a break. She can't go to dates. She can't go to practice. Call the coach." No matter what, Kelly would go to practice. She played two games with a cast on her left leg.
Yes, you put me at first base. I have a photo for proof. What's your pick, Mom? Who do you think I got my athletic ability from?
From me.
Yeah?
Yeah, I played softball in high school. And I played basketball. Your dad was a diver, master diver. But he didn't. And he did play football for one day in high school.
Well, one final question. So for the viewers out there, what's one thing they might not know about the Kelly Torres Jr.?
She's not scared of anything. We growing up, we had a boat in a little place in Key Largo. And if you put the garden hose outside, manatees the size of a car would, and I'm talking about 8-10 manatees, and all the kids were, "Oh, look, but they were standing. Kelly would jump in the water with a big old brush, and she starts, you know, which you can't touch a manatee, but she did, and she was she was cleaning them and bathing them, and people were, "Why, you know, she's not scared." I mean,
they don't got teeth.
What you might not know is that she jumped out of an airplane.
Okay.
She also plays a saxophone.
Oh, wow.
I do play.
She also is an artist. She paints. And she's just a talented individual who has the world before her, can do anything she sets her mind to. So we're looking forward to seeing that.
Do you have anything you want to add, Kelly? Just overall things like about your parents being on the show.
No, I mean, it's full circle. You know, I wanted to do this episode with you guys because, you know, my career is coming to an end, but so is your guys. And I wouldn't be here without you. And it's an honor to be able to highlight you in this podcast, to give you guys a platform, you know, because all they do, every fan out there just sees the game. They don't see the people who, you know, spent hours and bringing you to lessons and practices. And you guys were that part. If anything, you were more than half of my journey. So thank you.
One thing, and I tell anyone that wants to listen, whether your daughter or your kids play basketball, softball, tiddlywinks, whatever they choose, whatever they love, nothing, you can't put a price on the look in their face when they look up and they see mom and dad. It's priceless. So I didn't miss Kelly's practice. I mean, I would drop her off to school and I'd leave work early to see her practice, her games, her batting lessons, be there for them, no matter what they are. You'll rewards beyond belief.
You know, I do have something to add, that when I was a freshman, even in high school, you know, maybe it was those teenage years, but I would get upset with you guys. And, you know, I'd always tell them, you can't do this, you can't comment that, you can't follow this person, you know. And I was very, not obsessed, but I wanted to control their behavior and what I thought they reflected. And, you know, for advice for everyone out there, like, let your parents have fun, because it happens with every player. I see it on my team, you know. They're like, mom, dad, stop. Like, I love now when I look up and my mom, hopefully you guys saw the picture posted on Softball Speakeasy, has the Triton and it's all bedazzled. She made her own. My dad brings out this broom and, you know, they are my number one fans, if not Duke's number one fans. So it's awesome to just let them have fun and not worry so much, you know. So that's been awesome to see in my part.
I think we should draw the line by climbing the fence behind home plate, which I did once at a travel game. But that excitement is our way of expressing ourselves and knowing all of the effort and time that what goes behind, like you said, behind the scenes to make a team excel the way that you guys are excelling now. And just to know that we were a part of that is part of our joy too, to have you in our lives and be able to, you gave us that opportunity as well. So we love you.
Love you.
There was one player in Kelly's high school team. I don't want to mention her name, but very nice lady. Her dad was a local celebrity. And I used to I always try to embarrass Kelly no matter what. If I dropped off of school, I would roll down the window and yell, I love you. I miss you. I can't wait till this. And she would just, Dad, you can't do that. And she would tell me, and I would yell at her in practice, Dad, you're embarrassing me. Stop that. And this young girl goes up to Kelly, and I heard her telling us, you should be so happy. I wish to God my dad would be here to embarrass me. And your father's here all the time. You know? So just be there, man. Don't miss a moment.
I love you.
Love you more.
Oh, wow. And, like, I'm so thankful to have had you two on, because I'm sure so many parents or guardians and people who take care of these kids on the field, they completely resonate. I'm so glad we could end on a story like that, too, because not everyone is lucky enough to have two loving parents. And what a beautiful relationship you have with your parents, Kelly. Like, I'm in awe of the love I can feel between all three of you. And so thank you so much for wanting to do this podcast. Yeah. And of course, Kelly, thank you for saying yes to doing it as well.
And then hopefully this gives other people, other softball parents, a time to reflect and look on their kids' journey and maybe go through some memories that they wouldn't have if they didn't sit down and think about those moments.
Yeah, because there's not the opportunity. Like, y'all probably wouldn't have done this. Like, maybe over dinner, just you three, but to get it out there. Yeah. Parents, have these conversations with your seniors that are graduating, because it's an end of a chapter for the parents as well. And for every young softball player out there, Kelly and I are going to thank your parents on your behalf. Mm-hmm. And And so thank you both so much for taking the time. Seriously.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Yeah. But thank you all so much for watching, listening, viewing, and subscribing. New episodes come out every single Wednesday. You can follow us at SB Speakeasy for Instagram posts, reels, all that good stuff. And if you're feeling kind, as always, please rate us 5 stars wherever you get your podcast and leave us a fun review if you're feeling up for it. But without further ado, we will see you next week on the show.
Yes.
Peace.
Should we mic bump?
Yeah.